You're listening to the K-State Radio Network. This is Agriculture Today. Yesterday, the USDA unleashed a whole boatload of new numbers as part of its annual World Agricultural Outlook Forum. And among those numbers were USDA's latest thinking on grain production and possible price ranges for our major grains. Those are among the topics we'll take up now with our guest, Dan O'Brien, grain market economist, K-State Research and Extension. Dan's along with us every Friday right here. So, Dan, the USDA trots this report out every year. It is, of course, very broad in its scope. But when you look at the grain production and price outlook numbers, well, what captured your attention right away?
That the USDA is basically anticipating a steady-as-she-goes situation. And the markets, I think, perceive that. You look at yesterday's corn markets, again, up a penny to three-quarters of a penny across the board on the contract. Soybeans up 2 to 2.5 cents in the front months, a little more than that perhaps in the latter months. Wheat responded by being up about 5 cents or so, but that's probably more to do with weather concerns perhaps than anything. So the USDA looked at these numbers, and really I think at this time the most consequential number that comes out of this is their guess on acreage, because that's, again, that's the next shoe to drop, you know, in terms of U.S. domestic crops. When you look at that, they projected, actually kind of lowered their projection on corn acreage just a little bit from what they had put out preliminarily, latter part of November on into early December. Projected corn acres at 90 million acres planted in 2018, soybeans at the identical number, 90 million acres, and both corn and soybeans would be down just marginally. So in essence, they're the same, you know. For wheat, really kind of a surprise. Projected that U.S. wheat acres would be up about 500,000 acres to 46.5 million. But again, so much of that's going to depend on what happens in spring wheat areas to the north. And so that number still works around. Projected cotton up about 700,000 acres. They did project other feed grains to be about 12.6 million acres, 10.7 being the number last year. Earlier on, when the USDA approached this projection, they had plugged in a 1 million acre increase for grain sorghum, and that surely may still happen if some of the recent happenings in the grain sorghum market would impact farmers' expectations of income, etc. You know, that number could shift around. I would think if there was any decrease in that grain sorghum number, you're probably looking at some at least competitive trade-off between other feed grains, in particular in our neck of the woods, probably corn out in the non-irrigated areas and lower well-capacity irrigated areas.
But the China factor is still in play here, you're saying.
Yes, and actually, when you look at the latest numbers, just to take a quick detour into that, China still has, even after all this tariff stuff that's happened, that are in the price adjustments, they're still, by the USDA's latest set of numbers, still about 66 million bushels of grain sorghum pre-purchases still on the books to China in particular, still 108 for all countries, including the other major buyers, Japan and Mexico. So those numbers are still there. Now, again, they could be canceled, but it still holds up the possibility that tariff could still be a temporary situation. But what's surprising about it is that the buyers from China in particular, and again, they're buying that for feed purposes, for domestic alcohol production, for other industry uses, they haven't just flat canceled everything. Mm-hmm. So those numbers are still there, and we'll see how that unwinds. At least what's come out so far hasn't, in terms of how the industry in China is responding, hasn't been enough of a factor for them to actually cancel many, or if any, at least with our latest numbers, any of their forward purchases. So that's something to watch.
Well, Dan, as part of its report yesterday, the USDA in its Outlook Forum write-up did put out what you might call a checklist of things that might generally improve income from grain production here domestically.
They put out that checklist because their price projections were docile. Not much change. They did project wheat up a dime from 460, season average prices up to 470 in this 18-19 marketing year. Corn up a dime, 330 to 340. Soybeans down, nickel down to 925 from 930. They made those changes, but then felt compelled to put a caveat out. It's an admission that, well, basically, we projected things to move pretty steadily forward. We're not anticipating any major changes, that demand won't shift around, or we're not factoring into this any major weather problems. In fact, probably even it's a question of whether even they really even have the South American problems we have now factored into great degree in these projections. First of all, they identify global demand with the indication that global GDP growth could boost demand in buying countries, and that would affect food uses, could affect feed grain uses also for fuel, et cetera, if they have bioenergy programs, so that's something. They also talk about how movements in the dollar, particularly if the U.S. dollar stays at its current level or would weaken, that would boost trade. They do discuss the idea of how if positive moves are made in terms of trade negotiations from here on into the future, that we could have better market access for our U.S. crops, and so that would be positive. The other side of that, the darker side, is if not, then there's kind of the hidden warning that, gosh, there'd be concern about impact on U.S. exports if reasonable and fair arrangements aren't arrived at. That's the other side. Supply chain, of course, they do put in the caveat that we could have weather problems, and in fact, that's the fear of that. I think been supporting the wheat market, and frankly, the weather problems in South America, again, Argentina, pretty dry, southern Brazil, pretty dry. They're not really dry in most of the rest of Brazil, but they have enough moisture, and they got their soybeans in November, December, planted late enough, they were delayed in doing that it's pushed back the likelihood of having a full season for their second crop corn. That second crop corn supply comes right into the world export market and competes against the U.S. So there are issues at play down South America that I think are at least helping us to have some support right now in the futures market, some moderate support, but to the degree they finally do play out, I think we have the potential for more support. In fact, the USDA's numbers coming into that March report will be really interesting to see if they lower Argentine projections as much as the Argentines themselves are doing in the Rosario Futures Exchange survey. So that has the potential to provide us even more support in these markets.
A whole bunch of wild cards in that deck, to be certain. Upon receiving the new price projections from the USDA, you typically go ahead and put forth your price probabilities updated for the various grains, and you've done so for corn already, and we'll get into the rest of the grains as we go on further in the weeks ahead. But how do your probabilities match up with that average price for marketing year 17-18 of $3.30 a bushel for corn, Dan?
Well, the USDA, again, projected, in essence, that with 90 million acres planted, again, that being down about 1 million from previous projections, and I think still leaving projected yields in the 172, 174, 175 range, they'd be looking at about, by my estimates, about a 14.3 billion bushel corn crop. That'd be down some from where we're at. No major change in usage. Ending stocks, by my numbers anyway, given some of these USDA assumptions, whereas we're about 2.35 billion bushels now, we'd be at about 2.15 next year. Stocks use declining a little bit, about 1 or 2%. And so they've come out and given their projection at $3.40, up 10 cents from this year. There's still a lot of risk around that. So if there's a 50% chance of that happening at the USDA's right, then you've got 25% on either side. On the top side, in terms of production, you'd be looking at, again, arguably yields equal to this year's record high at 176, 177. And working that through a supply-demand balance sheet, about 2.4 billion bushel ending stocks, 16.5% stocks to use, and prices closer to, say, 325 or so. Again, we're so far out there on the supply-demand curves that to have a few hundred million more bushels won't make that much difference. On the other side, if we get, say, 164, 165 bushels per acre, which isn't a major drought but just challenging conditions, then you find yourself at about a billion less bushels of corn, about 13.6. I run that through a supply-demand balance sheet, you're down to 1.4 billion bushels carryover stocks to use, right at or under 10%, and prices closer to, say, 440 than where they're at right now. So what is that? That'd be a dollar higher. Mm-hmm. A dollar higher than what the USDA has projected for this year. So if we didn't have 2.4 billion bushels of carry-in and we're sitting at more like 1.8, 1.7, we'd be sitting in a different corn market. You know, we'd already be 50 cents higher probably than where we're at. And I think we'll have to go farther into having some type of a crop problem to really see prices move 50 cents to a dollar higher than we would have otherwise.
All this that we've covered here, plus more, is included in Dan's weekly notes on the grain markets, and those are posted regularly on agmanager.info. Dan, we'll pick up on the probabilities for the other grains and other assorted topics next week. Thanks for joining us once again.
Thanks, Eric. Take care.
That's the weekly grain market analysis from K-State Research and Extension grain market economist Dan O'Brien. And this is Agriculture Today.